Thank you.
We're holding a daf Nun Aleph today. We're still at the bottom of Nun Amud Beis. The next case is the Mishnah. The Mishnah is a nekev in the hemsis of Beis HaKosos. So if the nekev goes between them, it's not a problem. It's only for Nikvah Lachutz. Turn around, Bonnie. Machar Shenimtzeis Bovi Beit HaKosot Mitzad Echad Kshira. As we saw before, if a needle is sticking through the Beit HaKosot only from one side and doesn't puncture both of the linings, so then it's kosher. Mishnei Tzadim Treifa. If it goes all the way through, so then you have your problem of the Nikuva in the Beit HaKosot. Nimtza Aleha Koret Dam, then Biyadua Shelifnei Shechita. Besides the issue of the nekev, of where the nekev is, we also have the question, of course, of when the nekev was made. So in a situation where we find a needle, and the needle has on it a little bit of blood, then biyadua shelifnei shechita. Then we have to assume that it was before shechita, and therefore it's straight. But lo nimtza la'akaret dam, if there's no blood on the needle, then biyadua shelachar shechita. Then you don't have to be fresh for treifas, because in the normal of pushing around the innards of the animal, the machat was pushed through, because if it had been done when it was alive, it would have had blood. He glit piyamaka, if there's a scab on the hole, then biyadua sheshloshayamin kodem shechita. Then for sure it takes 3 days until such a scab should form. So the tarfus must have been there 3 days before Shechita. Therefore, somebody who bought it within those 3 days can claim that he bought the animals in Mekastos, because he can show that it was a trape all along. Lo iglit piyamaka, however, if there was no scab, then hamotzi michavero alav harayah. Then if he wants to get his money back, he's going to have to prove that the trefa was there from before. There's a big machlokas we've shown him over here as to what type of mekachtos we're talking about. Because normally, and let's say we would have found a trefa in something like Sirchus. You know, over there, the Rosh says, the assumption is the guy knows when he's buying the animal, he's taking a chance. Because it's very common. So, especially if it's something that is in common. He can tell you, I never had in mind to take a chance on a machat be beit hakosot. You sold me an animal with a machat be beit hakosot. I never intended to buy.
The seller
also that doesn't matter. Mekachtos is independent on the das of the seller. Other Rishonim Taina that wherever there's a tzad, that he should have known about it. If he doesn't say that I'm buying this from you al das, that it's a kosher animal, so then b'chol you can't say that it's a mekachtos, because there's always an element of chances involved. You take your chances. You buy, you take your chances. No way to know it. But in any event, in this case, whether it's talking about stam, as most of Rishonim learn, that you could say that it's a mekachtos, or it's talking about that he made a condition and he only wants to buy a kosher animal. There's one way we can prove that it was trade from before, which is if it was higlit pimak. This question is, Maishna mikol nikuve diyalma, yafagav de leka dam tarif mar. What we was concerned with over here, why is it that all the other cases that we had, where there was a hole, we never suggested maybe the hole was there from before. Dafka over here, in this case, you're saying, well, if you find blood, so then that blood is an indication that it was from before the shechita. But if not, then you have to assume that it was Milahakar Shechita. We never heard such a thing before. So in all other cases, Afagav the Lekadam Torif, even though there was no Dam there, nonetheless, you were Matrif. And how come over here that you're saying Dafka there is Dam? Answers the Gemara, because Hasam Lekamidi Lemisrach, Hocha Kiman Dika Machat, Yisa the Kedem Shechita Havi Misrach Abisorif. That's in a normal case. I said it was some bleeding by something that caused the hole. Then the blood would have been anyway removed by the normal movement of the animal against the against the muscle, against fat, and so on and so forth. There's nothing for the dam to grab onto. But over here, you have a machat that's sticking out. And the blood would certainly have adhered to the machat. If there's no blood there, then you have the right to assume that it was li'akrashrita. Well, really, Rav Safra la'abaya. Rav Safra came into Abaya and he said, you know, we have an interesting visitor in town. Chazimar ha'tzurba mirabona diyosu mima'arava. This Talmud Chacham comes from Eretz Yisrael, and he presents himself rather hoity-toitily. He calls himself Rabbi Avira. Rav Avira Shamani. My name is Rav Avira. That's sort of, you know, okay, from Eretz Yisrael, they didn't think too highly of the people, and above all, we're not going to, you know. You can call me Rabbi Avira. Yomar Maaseh Obalif Ne Rebbe, and he says over this Maaseh, in which was presented to Rebbe a treifus of a machat, shenimtzos bovi beit hakosot mitzad echad, that it was only on one side, and we learned very clearly in the Braisa, machat shenimtzos bovi beit hakosot mitzad echad is kosher. And he's reporting on a Maaseh Shehaya that Rebbe was matrif v'tarf. Rabbi was very interested to hear. So he sends a messenger to Rabbi. Is the Rosh Yeshiva? He sends a messenger to Rav Avira to come. Rav Avira's not going to come. Who is this Babylonian Rosh Yeshiva? A fellow from Eretz Yisrael should go, have to be batriach, to go to a local rabbi? No way. So he sends him, Shalach Leos, Elos, Elagabi. So he doesn't show up. So Rabbi goes to see him. Okay. Ozo, Elagabi. Avikoya Yigra. He's up on a roof. Rav Avira. So Abaya says, Nechaz Marvanisi, come down so we can talk. No, I'm not coming down. No, no. Fine. So Abaya schleps up to the top of the roof. Omali, Imali Gufa de Uvde Echaavi. Give me the details. What was this? Maisa with Rebbe in the base of Kozos. Omali, so he says, first you gotta know who you're dealing with over here. Mavter Fenesio San Olaelami Rebbe Rabba. I am the Mashkiach, basically. I get the guys up to davening, you bring them into Rabbi Samedrish, in front of the great Rebbe, and you should know who you're talking about over here. And Rav Huna from Tzipori, and Rav Yossi from Mava, were Yoshvim Lafona. They were sitting there in the Beis Samedrish as a Bezdin. Rebbe has brought this Trefa. The machat in the Beis HaKosis, it's only one side. V'hapcha Rebbe, and Rebbe turned it over and looked at the other side in the area that was above where the machat was. U'matza alea koredam, and he found blood on the outside of the Beit HaKosot. V'tarfa, and he said it's treif, he said imein shem and macha, koredam inayin. If this needle hadn't punctured it before, how did it get bloody on the outside? Omar Lay, so Abaya said, for this, you drag me up to the roof? Any two-year-old knows that. Torach Tarilai Ugavra, but for no reason, you're much Riachabi. Masnissen, he also you don't know how to read the Mishnah. Emsis Obezakot, Shinikvalachut. Obviously, I need Rebbe to teach me that if there's blood there, there must have been a hole there. Come off the man. Maybe that put him in his place. The question is, see, this is a machlokas here, as to whether Rebbe held you have to be ma'apichet to check, or whether it happened to be that hafcha Rebbe. So if Rebbe was tining that you have to turn it over, then he was saying over a chiddush. You know, so I wouldn't have said to Achtariya, the chur, I mean, that's my svara, I mean, I don't know. Because then you learn that every time you find the machat ovi beit hakosot, you're mechuyev to turn it over and look at the other side. That's a chiddush. Indeed, many rishonim say you're not mechuyev to turn it over. It happens to be hafcha Rebbe. Rebbe turned it over and he noticed that there was a koredah, but he didn't hold you had to turn it over. The next case that we have in the Mishnah is the case of a nufula. Nufla min agag, an animal falls from the roof. No, it was found by chance. We're not required to check for.
Is there any connection between the Nufla and a guy here and the guy standing on the back because he was not sure that maybe he fell out?
You mean there's always a hope? Amar Avuna. Iniyak behima lamala. You leave an animal on a roof. Ubo matza alamata. And you come and you find it's gotten to the bottom of the story. You don't have to be afraid that the animal fell. It's much more reasonable that it took the elevator down. Risuk is shaken up. So in the fula there's a risuk kevorim. Since we didn't see the animal fall, we don't have to be feshish for risuk kevorim. Risuk kevorim is how we refer to the status of a nefula. It's been shaken up. And therefore, it has to wait. You have to wait 24 hours before you can shecht it. As we'll see later on. In this case, you don't have to worry about risa kevorim. So the idea over here is that however an animal manages to do things, it's not stupid. Because it doesn't do things that are going to shatter its body. It has a natural ability to measure distances, to know whether it's able to land carefully or whether it can maybe slide down, pushing against the wall with its forelegs and so on. So unless you see an actual accidental fall, you can assume that the animal knows what it's doing and got down by elevator, basically. Now, there was a maisa of Ahugadya Davile Ravina. Ravina owned a little goat and kept it on his roof. And he had a skylight in his roof. And he made the mistake of putting some puffed wheat underneath for his kids for breakfast. And these gedis, they really like that kind of stuff. And the gedi is looking through the skylight. And he's chosha chushla bi'ipuma. He sees through the skylight. He sees this delicious bowl. This is actually peeled barley. It's very attractive. Very attractive. Yeah, cheerio stuff. And so what does he do? Dogar. So he goes and he jumps. And Nafamigra, and so he ends up coming down from the roof and down to the table and he gobbles up the Cheerios. And now the shaila is whether he's in a fula. This would make a great advertisement, huh? So also the Kami the Ravashi, they brought the shaila to Ravashi, what's to do? Omalei, how the Omer of Huna, he niach behima lamala, ubav matza lamat. They said to him like this, we know the halacha. Halacha is that if the animal makes its way down, so you left an animal on a roof, you didn't see that it fell, so you can assume that it took the elevator. Over here, we know for a fact it didn't take the elevator. And we know that it jumped from the middle of the roof. Now there's two ways of understanding his maimer. He said, "Ein chayshishim l'riv shum risikevorim." I'm asking, however, why is he saying "Ein chayshishim shum risikevorim shum deislay midei lamisrach v'haylaslay midei lamisrach"? Is it because normally, when an animal makes its way down from a high place, it's found a way to break its fall along the edges of whatever wall is there? In this case, it's a skylight in the middle of the room. There's nothing that it could possibly have used to break its fall. And therefore, it should be now a nefula. We'd have to wait 24 hours to see. Shasha Rishkevor. Oh, Dilma, or maybe the basis of Ravuna's Maimer is Mishum da Amda Nafsha. Because the animal is able to estimate what it's capable of doing without danger. Vainami Amda Nafsha. I mean, look, it's as turned on as it was by a bowl of Cheerios. It's already committed suicide. So Mistoma knew what it was doing. Omarle and Ravashi said that it's kosher. That the svar of Ravuna of Ein Chayshishim risikevorim is mishum da amda nafsha. It's because the animal knows what it's doing. Vainami amda nafsha. And in this case, when it jumps down for the cereal, it knew what it was doing in jumping down. Hayi imrata da'avi be'rav chaviva. We'll get to that. There was a sheep that was by Rav Chaviva, in which it was unable, was dragging its back feet, was unable to stand on its back feet. There's something was wrong with it. So Rav Yemar said, you don't have to be feshish if there was a damage to the spine. Hashigrunya nakta, it's got bursitis, or it's got a cramp. And you can be same if it's a grant, we can check that you don't have to worry about it. Yeah. Maski for Ravina. So Ravina said to Dima Chutashidri. How do you know that that's what it is? Maybe it's something that happened to the spine. But Kua, and they actually checked. And Ashkakuak Ravina, they found that Ravina was right. That actually there was damage to the spinal cord. Afilohaki, nonetheless, Hilkasak Rabbi Yemar. We pass like Rabbi Yemar because Shigruna Shtiach Kutashidra Lo Shtiach. Damage to the spinal cord is rare, and other issues, inflammations, proctitis, and cramps, and so on, is much more Shtiach than to have a damaged cord. No, the difference is it treif or not? The problem with what actually is treif. The physical implications, obviously, manifestations would be permanent if it was a what actually. He was saying you don't have to worry about it before. You don't have to wait. You don't have to check. Huh? Why should you assume that there's a problem just because an animal has a cramp? Every time there's a problem, you go, what are you, a bunch of hypochondriacs over here? And it happened to be that he went to a chiropractor. Obviously, he found something wrong with him. But
it was too late. It was the spine. That's it.
I see.
If you know it's the spine, it's straight.
If you know it's the spine, yeah, then of course it's straight.
But a paralyzed animal, something with a limb that doesn't work.
It's not a problem. It's not a problem unless we trace it to a trephus. Omrevuna. Zichorina menakrim zeitzev. You have rams that are fighting it out. And so they're ramming each other. And Hashem Mishim Rizukevar, you don't have to worry about Rizukevar. In other words, even though there's a lot of smashing and so on, you don't have to be afraid that there's some kind of problem that was caused. There's basically enough of a biological rules that are followed in these fights that it doesn't get to the point of Rizukevar. And this is Afagab. Even though these animals are moaning, so the meat, and as we could see that they're clearly hurt, and not only that, the kaime timran, and they even have they're running a fever, and they're obviously really sick from this. I'm sorry. Afak of the meat of the kaime, even though they continue to moan and groan and they're sick. We can assume that it's only an illness that's causing a fever, and that it's a fever from the banging, but it's not real illness. It's not a serious risky form. And inofulahara, if however they fell in the battle, then vadai chashina. It tells us a little bothered by this because lamaisa, the shear of nefula, even though we don't talk about it over here, but in Baba Kama it makes it clear, shear of nefula that would be dangerous is asaratvasi. Year, even if you have from the height of the animal, even on a short agudal, the norm is arba tvachim, and you don't have 10 tvachim for an animal to fall. So it does suggest in this case, since it's because of a fight, and there's an awful lot of smashing and banging, if the smash was enough to throw it over, then already we're suspicious that it was a Rizukevar. But it's not because of the fall per se.
It's momentum.
Well, yeah. The mountain goats are fighting on a hill and one hits the other.
Yeah, for sure. You're here it means in as part of the menachem, otherwise it's not a chiddush. It's a normal nefula. Omer of Menashe, Haini Dichri, the Ganvi Ganavi, in Chashim Shimusa Kivori, when and Ganavim break into a walled enclosure, and they're stealing sheep, so they throw them over the wall. So, Lukhara, there's Risa Kivori, and you throw them over the wall. There's no Chashash. Why? My timer. Because Kishadalu Matnayu Shadalu, Kiechdalu Yatakamai. They throw them in such a way that they should land on their feet toward the Motnai in order that they should be able to run with them. They don't want to sit there dragging these things. They want them to be running away before the cops come.
Like they want a 16-wheeler waving.
They need to get them into the 16-wheeler. So I think nowadays the Arabs, in fact, do use 16-wheelers.
With those white bands on.
But they're careful, and they don't throw themselves down, they're careful to throw them in a way that is safe for them to land. Ahadrino, on the other hand, if the sirens come in the distance, and they pick them all up and throw them back in and run, then Bare Hashina, because then they couldn't care less how it lands, they want to get rid of the evidence, so they throw them back in any old way. Then you have to be Chayesh Rizike Vori. V'hani mile da'adrino machmas yira, that's only if they throw them back in because of the sirens. If machmas teshuva, so they come back a week later, they get teshuva, Arafat finally is a partner, was one of the ups, you know. So now then they're coming back in order to be misakin, so then teshuva mal yaseh with the avdi. Then already they would be careful to put it back properly. They're not going to, I mean, what kind of teshuva is it to throw them in? You want to be mekayem hashrova? Omer of Yonamirat, Hika al Rosha, Valkala klape znava, or al znava, Valkala klape Rosha, Keneget kola shidra kula, in koshim shimusa kevorek. If you have a long stick, and you hit an animal in a way that the stick runs along the length of the spine, from the head down to the tail, or from the tail up to the head, it doesn't matter. But the impact of the maka is spread out along the entire spine. Then there's no problem of rizikei vorim. There's no one spot in which there's a concentration of force. However, if you have isholim chutra palga de gaba, if, however, the stick doesn't go all the way and it ends halfway down the spine, then where it ends, you often have that it hits first, and that tremendous amount of force is applied to that point. And in fact, it may have caused over there a psuka in the chuta shidra. So then chashina. Furthermore, he is bakitre chashina. If there's any knots in the wood that jut out, so then you have to be chayish that the knot hit first, and it carried all of the force in that little space of where the knot touches the spine, and may certainly have done damage. The imachia paske, now certainly if you hit the animal across its back as opposed to along its back, then certainly chashina. And you do have to be chayish for a problem in the spine. Omrib nachman, beit harechem ein bo mishub risuk eivorim. Passing through the birth channel is not considered to be a chashash of risuk eivorim. So even if there's a problematic birth, and this animal is really shook up from being born, there's no chashash of rizikei vorim, and you could check that animal right away. Well, you know, that a fula is not a problem. It's not high enough to be in a fula, but the actual passage should be rizikei vorim.
We're talking about the baby,
yeah. Omer le rov al Reb Nachman. The truth is there's a lot of issues in here that leads to one pshat, Rivash's pshat, is that we're not talking about the baby, we're talking about the uterus. Is the uterus affected by rizikei vorim? And said, since it's always, anyway, torn and put under tremendous force because of births, embo rizikei vorim. The thing that forces him to say this, and is very problematic, as we'll see when Gemara continues, that's a twist all sugya, is because it seems rather obvious that if we see babies born all the time without any problems in kashrus, that we shouldn't have any. I mean, any idiot knows it can't be that it's rizikei vorim. I mean, you're going to go baser a chazaka, an animal that's born is not a treifa. Whoever heard of an animal that's shaken up to the point of death through by rizikei vorim by passing through a birth? So some learn that it's talking about that there was some reis and it was a very difficult birth. We'll see from the sugya that follows. And it's almost impossible to learn that way. Otherwise, the whole thing falls apart. So, all right. I mean, there's a lot of issues. This is the game. It's interesting because it's a game of modern problems, such as the milk problem. One of the issues of the milk problem, as I mentioned to you, is the operation that's done a million times a day to release gas from the rumen. So you simply you take a puncture thing, and you puncture the rumen, the gas escapes, and fine, nothing ever happens to the animals. They live happily ever after. And this is absolutely common stuff. And I mean, according to the Gemara, if this is the Kerasapnim, then it's a trefa, which means that all the milk animals are trefa animals, and you shouldn't be drinking milk. This is one of the main issues that was going on. So, I mean, here too, the question is, does the fact that something seems to be normal procedure, I mean, does that mean that it's necessarily, unless it's been determined otherwise in a particular case, that there's no reason to keep worrying? I'm just pointing out the issues here. In any event, Rav Nachman Taina is that birth itself is not a problem. It's so common that it's certainly wrong.
He says in that food book that it was goes in and then lateral into the. It's not like both of the walls are functioning in the same place.
Oh, he talks about it.
Yeah,
about
the. He said they do a lateral movement and then they do so they don't puncture it in the same the double.
Or always they do that.
Or she do it for
closer animals. They do.
Do they make a point in the animals that are used for Chol Yisrael not to do
nowadays that? They do, yes. Since the Shaila, they started being makbid on the herds.
How do they get the gas out?
Let them fart.
That doesn't help. It's the wrong diet. It's the keras. This is not the case on this. For the animal. Oh, is there pikuach here on it? I don't know. Oh, no, it's major. Big issues here.
Mother Nature's excuse.
Well, Mother Nature probably provided better feed. You know, the fodder that these poor things eat. I mean, they should be getting a little extra methane in there. But, you know, listen, I don't know, Harriet reports on quite a few cases like that.
Cows exploded.
No, but great day. Well, his favorite case is where a guy put a lighter to the cubs burned down the barn. Omerle Ravel Rav Nachman. Tanya de Misayel, I can bring a proof to you that there's definitely no Khashash of Rizak Evorim in the birth channel. Why? Because the Mishnah says, Tinok ben Yom Echad mitamei b'zivah. A freshly born male can be metame bezov. Now the problem is that this is not that uncommon because of the hormones that are in the mother, they're passed to the child. You often find females that have swollen breasts from mother hormones. You can have males that will actually be roezivas, and that's metame. Now the question is, however, that there's no zivas where it could be traced to an illness of some kind, or to risa kevarim, because it's velo machmas onso. It's a zovo machmat atzmo. So Isaac, the type of yeshua mishum risa kevarim, you're going to say that birth itself is traumatic, then why is a child metame bezivas? The trauma tells you that the zivas is not tame. That's dinne, even an adult who went through a trauma. And his roya zov is not matame. So ikri kan mi besaro velo machmat onso. So you see for sure that there's no trauma associated with birth. So much for Freud. Hakamaya skian kigon chiyatsa derek deif, but not necessarily. Maybe the case over here was a Caesarean. So if the child was delivered by Caesarean, then there for sure wasn't any trauma. So maybe that's the only case that a tinek ben yom is a metame bezivas. The Mishnah is not saying that he's different than an adult. Obviously, if you could trace the trauma, so then there's not no tumah. The Mishnah is simply saying that you shouldn't say that he's too young to be metame bezivas. He's metame bezivas. Now we apply the normal dinner to him. If you could find a case in which he'll be tame, such as a Caesarean delivery, so then that's all that we're referring to. Who's to say it's a comment on the birth process? So that's no right. Okay, what about this case? Tashma. Egel, shenolad b'yom tov, shoftim oto b'yom tov. So here we find, this has been again the shayla of mukta, is it mukhan or not? Since the mother could have been shechted, which would have been matir the egel, so an egel that's born on that day, you can shecht it on that day, it's considered to be mukhan. Agav imo? What? No, not for carbon, for your own personal achila. Yeah, right away, fresh. So now, the shaila is, if you're going to tell me that there's a din of rizikei varim, you have to let it sit for 24 hours in order to make sure that it wasn't a treifa. So how do you explain the fact that it says you could shecht it on the same day? Well, you'll have to say that it's talking about as a Syrian also. Afinam, you could go to Yotze Derech Doifa. Maybe. Okay, let's bring another raya. Tashma. Vishavim she'im nolad hu umumo imo shezemen amuchan. Here, but don't get to the there's a machlokus of gabi a bechor. So if a bechor gets a mum on yontem, so then it's bechora nolad, because until now it wasn't right to be shafted, because it's a bechor, it's also to shaft. If it gets a mum, so there's a tzad to say that it's also al smuksa because of nolad. Now, if these other shailas that are involved, which aren't important to us, which has been again the question of the, at the time of the Knesset of Yontif, it was also to Shefta because of Kachim Bachutz. So once it became Mukta, the shailas can it become Mutter. So, okay, but everybody agrees that it was born with its mum on it, so when it was in its mother, it was not considered yet to be Kachim, because a Bachutz doesn't become Kadosh until birth. Therefore, there was no muks on it then, and it was right to be eaten agav its mother. So if it's born with a congenital defect, that gives it a mum. So then there's no problem of shechting it. That's all very nice. There's no problem of shechting an os before. But what about also the other problem of rizikei varim? So clearly, we're not chayshish mishum rizikei varim, right? And what are you going to tell me? I know what you're going to tell me. Oh, it's talking about a Caesarean. How could it be talking about a Caesarean? Then it wouldn't be Kaddish B'Kaddish B'Chayra, because this is B'Chayra is only Kaddish if it's a Peseach Rechem, Pet Rechem. So Derech Daifen Mi Kaddish. Derech Daifen wouldn't be a B'Chayra anyway, so what would we be talking about? Omer Rabbi Yochanan, even Rabbi Shimon, who holds Lagabi that human for Yotze Daifen, and he says that Yotze Daifen is considered to be a birth, and it has Yimei Tumah V'Tayra, just like a birth, but he's made that in terms of Kachim, it's not Kaddish, because it certainly needs to be Petah Rechem. So how are you going to explain it, man? He answers to the Gemara for the Maiskinim. Shifris agave karka. We'll see later on that if an animal on which there was a chashash of rizikei varim stands, or even attempts to stand according to some, then it's no chashash of rizikei varim anymore. So the case over here was that it was, it immediately tried to stand up or stood up, and then there's no problem.
You don't need 24 hours.
Then you don't need 24 hours.
Within that 24 hours, if the animal stands up, then
and you can shaft it. In the slaughterhouse, where they turn animals over, and will often throw them to get them on their backs, you can't see big animals there. There's no chashash of rizikei varim. So there was a shor, who tore the nafal, there was this big shor that fell in the Beit HaMitbachayim. Mishtama kol negichutei, and you could hear the thing moaning, and it was blue, it was really carrying on, like it was hurt. Ol Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Martha, shakal mishiburi shofri. He took the best portion, just to prove his point that it's kosher. Omele Rabbanan min halacha, how do you know that even in a case like this, that there's no chashash. Omalei haki amarav, because Rav was Masbir, that Tziparnav no eight tachimagia laaretz. The shor knows when these little humans are starting up with it, that they're going to try to throw him. And so he protects himself the whole time by keeping his legs up against the ground. He shouldn't be hurt when he's twisted over. And therefore, it's the same thing as we had before, in which the animal protects itself not to be hurt. Ashenken, the case that we had earlier by the Negiches, where they were fighting each other, over there the norm is each animal figures it's going to win. So if it's caught off guard and gets thrown by the other guy, then indeed it's a haftah. I mean, that's a nefula.
What about the next thing they do in the South?
First of all, there's a lot. I'm sure you know you've hired guys to do a job, and all they do is moan. Right? They sit there and they. That's also a claw. The more noise they make, the less they're going to get the work done. So, okay, this could be a show. It's carrying on. Because some, you know, some animals know how to get attention. Some kids moan all the time also.
In the South, there's a big thing in the United States where people get drunk and then they do something called cowdrunk.
Yeah.
I've never seen it, but they apparently go out and they say that the cows are sleeping and they get a bunch of guys and they push the cows over.
Turn the cows over.
But I thought they were supposed to be sleeping or something. So how
can
they
do
that? Yeah, don't they keep standing up? So there might be a problem.
Sounds like really great.
It's a redneck sport. That's
like it. Mailbox smashing. Yeah. Don't you just love it? Umber Vyudamarab. Umda Einatsucha Meitleit. If an animal gets up after a nefila, it does not require 24 hours before you shaft it, but it still requires bedika to see that there hasn't been any specific damage. You got to take a look at the ribs, you got to take a look at the chutashidra. Have to see whether maybe something was torn, broken.
You say that one is a claw or anything?
Yes, there's two. It's a very interesting trefa because it's different than all the other trefas. This is a trefa. Truth is, it's a machloikas. What the status of this trefa is. You have a nefula. You shech the nefula before it's umda, within 24 hours. Is it a vada trefa or is it a suffix trefa? That's a big machlokas. There are many Rishonim. Rashi seems to learn that it's a suffix. He says, interestingly, not in Chulin, but in Zvachim, use the Lashon suffix. Some want to be based on that it's really a suffix trefa. The Pashtus is, and there's many who speak about the Pharisee, it's one of the Yudchas trefas in a Fula, even though it is shy of to becoming untrafe, so to speak. But there's a trefa called a Fula that hasn't stood. So even though it's shy for it to stand afterwards, fine, then that's not the nefula that hasn't stood. But a nefula that hasn't stood is not a suffix that it might have stood. That's a type of trefa. Others are saying, what's a child such a thing? Maybe it would have stood. Are you going to say it's a vada trefa? Okay, but in any event, there's two stages over here. There's nothing to do if it doesn't stand up and you shecht it within 24 hours. There's nothing you could do. You can't check for damage, because it's not a trefa because of damage. It's a trefa because of nefula. So even if there's no damage, it's a trefa. If you get rid of the nefula issue by having it stand, you still have to be concerned that there may be other trefas. Maybe it's a nifzika chutashidra. Maybe the ribs were broken berubam. Maybe one of the ribs was ripped out at the point of the fulia. Those are all some of the Shef Shmaitzes, and they would also make a trefa. So that's a different issue. You need a bedika because you have a reyesa. Something's wrong. When there's a reyesa, you're mechuyav, you have to check on it. Like anything else, where you have a reyesa, you have a sircha, so you have to, or you have a problem normally in lungs, so we'll check it. So here you would need a bedika. So bedika vadeboy, even though it stood up and it's not in a fula, but it still went through a traumatic experience, you have to check and see whether there was any trauma indeed to the body. Halacha, if it moves and doesn't just stand, then it does not even require bedik. If it's moving normally, then you don't. Obviously, the 24 hours you don't need because it already stood. If it's walking, but you don't even need to check it.
It has to be normally. I mean, it's not.
Yeah, if you see something wrong with it, then of course the reyes is still there. Rav Chiya Bar Ashi Amar Achazu v'Achazu tzvicha bedika. You can't rely on the fact that it walked. If you know that something happened to it, it's still going to need a bedika because walking is not sufficient to take off your chashash of trauma somewhere that may not be showing up in the walk. So he doesn't rely on the bedika. You'll certainly need. Or Revira Barafa Amarav Pashtaya Dalamod. When it says Amda, doesn't mean had to actually stand. It's just simply to attempt to stand. So it's put out its foot to stand Alpha Pishalo Amda. And if it's standing already and it sticks out a foot to begin walking, that's sufficient. Refis, you don't even need that. Niyarala mode. Even if it positions itself And the upper part of its body now, as if it's about to stand up, that's already apapishalam, that's efficient. Omer ha-meimar mishmeder adini narda, nifula she'amru. When we talked about a bedika and a nifula, tzricha bedika keneged b'nei me'ayim, you're going to have to check the entire body cavity. Because anything could have happened. You have to check also the intestines, the stomach, maybe something was torn, maybe there was a hole in the docket. I mean, it's a pretty big trauma, and you can't get away just with a cursory look. Omar le marzutra, okay, I mean, we should make it a papa. Tzricha bedika keneged beit ha-halal kulo. You'll have to check the entire, not just the b'nei me'ayim. The me'ayim would only be from underneath. The beit ha-halal means all of the organs inside of the body, including the spine and so on. That's also called the beit ha-halal. Only
broken bones.
No, not normally. I mean, unless, or if it's in the leg, in the hind leg, where it could affect it. So masagidim rabim. That we'll get to. We haven't got there yet. Of simoni mai, which you have to check the kana and the veshet to make sure that there was no akira simoni. Omar le no, simanim kashim hein etzon nefila. Actually, the simonim are well protected against nefila, and they're not affected by it. Omrav Yonam Shmuel, all of this has been talking about a mammal. How about a bird? And on oath, that's nechbat al pnei hamayim. Suppose a wind smashes a bird down against, or, you know, into a glass window, which is more common, and it didn't realize it was about to hit the water. It slams into the water. So kinyan sheshat meloko mato, if it swims the distance of its own height, dayo, that's efficient equivalent of alicha for a mammal. Lamala, obviously it's got to be swimming against the current. I mean, if it's swimming lamala lamata, I mean, it's not swimming. And maya udash palu, you have to assume it was just a current. The maya kaima, now if there's no current, it's just like a pond of some kind, so then less lamala, you don't have to worry which direction it's swimming. The shada tivi, if you throw in some wood that's floating along, and it overtakes the wood, so now Kadme, obviously it's going faster than the current. Yeah. Other birds don't swim too well. A water bird. There's plenty of nice kosher water birds, my goodness. I see you don't go out very often.
When's the last time they ate a swan? Why not?
Lima matiach. Now, if you hung up your clothes and they're spread out to dry, and a bird goes slamming into it. You see. So there you have to be chayshish. The lomatia, but if it hasn't been stretched, so it's very often you'll stretch laundry out so that it'll dry properly. But if it's not stretched, then it's not a problem. It's a soft landing. The lomatia lo chayshinan. Mayef, ayef mayef is the correct yirza. If it's folded over in two, it's never stretched properly. Lo chayshinan. Isla, if you've got a net, and it's actually meant to catch birds, and a bird flies into the net. If it's mekar v'kitri, if the knots on the net, you knot it, where it passes over the other one, are close together, then chashinan, because that makes it hard. Lo mekar v'kitri, but if you don't have many knots in it, then it's more elastic, and lo chashinan. Kitna de'ovid betuni, chashinan. If you have now flax that you've put into piles and a bird crashes into that, then it's hard and you have to be chayshivri. If it falls off a side, on the edge of such a pile, da'igisa, lo chayshina. Asuraita, if you have, asuraita are also piles, but this is piles of reeds, also chayshina. Kitna the daik the nafit. If you have a pile of flax which you have crushed, and you've also been menapetzit, so that you've got all the hard pieces out. Lochashin, and there's none, it's too soft to cause any damage when it's spread out. Dayik velonov, it's but if you crushed it, and now you've got pieces of the givolim in it, and that can be hard. There chashin, because the bird might have hit one of those. Da'avid bizri, given to be kitre, chashina. Furthermore, if it's sprouted now, pods, since it's got those knots in it, it's got like sides coming out, so then it gets a knot wherever it sprouts, then that's hard, and then chashina. If you have the na'ores itself, which is dakta, those are the givolim, what's left of the givolim, you sweep it out of the pishtan itself. So if it's dakta means that it still has large pieces in it. It's not crushed. So then chashina, if the bird slams into that, it's hard. But dakta kata, if it's already the dusty part, after it's already been crushed, well, lo chashina. Navra, chashina, but timchata, lo chashina. So here we're also talking about this navra is this stuff that grows around the decal that they used to make. It's like that ropey stuff. You see it in the rova. It grows around there. Yeah. And you use it to make rope. You dry it, then you can twist ropes out of it.
Hemp,
yeah. I don't know, is that mamash? Hemp is a separate plant, but it's the same type of thing. So that's hard before you make it into rope, before you stretch it. And there it is a question of Nefula. So Navra himself would be a problem. But let me find my place over here. Yeah, so Navra Chashina. But if it's a Timchata, after now you spread it and you cut it to be able to make the pieces that you're gonna not turn into the turn into a basket weave and so on, then it's not, it's already softer. And Lo Chashina. Kitma Nihila Chashina. Lo Nihila, if you took dust, you put it through a sieve to get out the hard pieces in it, so then it packs very strongly, and then you have to be chayshish. Lo nihila, but if it contains all the kinds of different sizes, and it isn't now pressed together, it's soft and lo chashina. Same thing is true of sand. If it's whole adak, if it's like thin sand, like the playground sand, lo chashina, because it's just the impact is spread out. But whole hagas, where you've got big pieces in it now, then the big pieces can hurt the bird. And their chashina, avak drachim, which also is pressed very hard, so their chashina. Tivna, where you have straw, the ovid bezagat's been now pressed into those, bells, thank you. Exactly what I'm looking for. It's been baled. So then the fact that it's baled is chashina. Below ovid bezagat, it hasn't been baled and it's lying loose, and the bird slams into it, lo chashina. Chiti v'chol d'minayo chashina. Sare v'chol d'minayo, the Maram Shif's girsa is lo chashina. Kol mine kiknios, amen. So again, it depends here on the hardness of the grain. Various kiknios, not only in hardness also, but also about how easily the impact will spread out through adjacent grains. So if it rolls easily, it's also not a problem. Most kidneys do not have a problem with skivor, and they'll spread the impact out because they're very smooth. They don't really get caught together, except I guess so. Except for do you know how many birds are estimated to die against glass windows? Take a guess what we're talking about.
A year?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen some estimates on it. It's absolutely
stunning. 2 million?
100 million birds.
A year?
A year. Just on glass. Don't ask how many birds are eaten by cats. You'd never believe it. It's incredible. They're tiny, it's a corner for the birds. The cats, the humans keep. apparently amazing hunters, and nobody knows, nobody notices. They think they're eating cat food, you know. Actually, they're vomiting up all the cat food. Also, tens of millions. I mean,
how many insects do Carwitchians?
So the only thing you got a problem with is rubia. Rubia does not spread out and impact very well, and over there you would have a problem of risky form. Simchi, rubia, yes, it's probably the big beans. I don't know what is chimchi are not considered, also a type of bean, are not considered to be a problem. Chimchi, which are not round, therefore they don't spread out the impact properly, do have a problem of a risky form. Basically, you know, why don't we just talk about the klal? Klal and the milsa. The general rule is called midi demasha, ten bungishim risky form. If it is slippery. So then what happens is that the slipperiness of it allows the impact to spread all the way through because things simply move to take the place of it. But if they don't slip easily, one against the other, then you don't have the impact spreading through the hole. And at that point, by the time, you know, obviously ultimately, as in anything, you know, the earth will absorb the impact, but it's a little too late for the poor little birdie at that point. So at that point, if it's not nishrak, then you have a problem of risik evorim. Lo mishraki yeshbo mishum risik evorim. And we'll get into all kinds of terrible bird traps tomorrow. Not a happy day for the bird lovers. We'll see, we'll be talking about it.
There's a famous fireside.